discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than, greater than. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than. In your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome to the Sudden Eye Impact Show, with your host Lee coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On the Sudden Eye Impact Show, we have fun, we learn together, and we encourage one another. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as support systems, personal responsibility, accountability, accountability partners, creative vision, belief systems, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of partnership, the power of words, entrepreneurship, visionary leadership, creativity, consciousness, awareness, being the observer, service, innovation, finances, relationships, goal setting, and goal attainment. On our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. We have two guests today on this show, and our first guest that we'll hear immediately following my voice will be Jaron Quito Banks. He's a transformational coach, ordained minister, technology consultant for more than 20 years, entrepreneur, storyteller, and dream traveler. He believes dreams can and will come true with the application of the right knowledge, personal commitment, and your own unique abilities. Jaron has designed his life earning a living doing what he loves and is committed to helping other individuals earn a living doing what they enjoy. He helps you stop delaying your dreams and reminds you to live your life on your own terms. Jaron has integrated his 25 years of mentoring and coaching individual clients and business teams into a proven success system. Jaron Quito Banks is one of his companies, Dream Power Academy and Spiritual Athletics. And his goal with these companies is to help 1 billion people do what they love to do. And then my second guest is Katrina Frill. She's a business coach for the Conscious Business Mentors to be awakened. She is an international speaker and award-winning author of 4 books. For those that want to become an expert in their field of excellence through 7 streams of income, discover how to become an expert in your field of excellence and make your sole purpose a reality. Discuss your secret dreams with someone that can make them a reality. Katrina Frill is the how you have been waiting for. And for more information about Katrina, you can reach her at Katrena at becomingtheexpert.com.au. I have a skit for you, and then I'll be going to my first guest, Jaron Banks. So the next voice that you hear will be Jaron Banks. My only hope was to use my faith to cope. With everything in my name, I'm expecting big gains because of my spiritual DNA and my blood in my veins. Because of my ambition, I was always honorable mention. My life is priceless. I do not believe in luck or superstition. Jaron Banks, they got to respect me because of my ambition. Courage to serve in the proper capacity and embrace my true mission. In the class of life, the I am in me paid attention. My requirement to win taught me how to orchestrate the power of intention. Jaron Banks, they got to respect me because of my ambition. I'm telling my vision, my magnificent obsession kept me consistently immersed in space repetition. The I am in me saw to it I be a champion. I am limitless, and I am an infinite being in this dispensation. Jaron Banks, they got to respect me because of my ambition. With no further ado, we're going to Jarren Banks.
Thank you, Dwight. Yes, sir. They have to respect you. That's for sure. Today, I'm going to share a story. And this is something that I've shared a few stories on the show up to this point, but today I really was called to share a deeper story that's really personal to me and really shifted my life and really gave me the name for Dream Power Academy. And you'll understand after I tell this story how much the word dream is an importance in my life. This was a time back in the early 2000s, I'd say probably 2004, 2005. I don't have to go back and look at the exact dates. I was over in Fabriano, Italy. So I was visiting a friend of mine. We were former teammates in college or university. I played college basketball, and this was one of my teammates that I was teammates with. He was now playing professionally overseas in Italy for a professional team there. So I went over to go visit him, and this was during a two-week break that he had. So he finished up part of the season, and then we were going to – he was taking off 2 weeks, and we were going to spend some time there locally, kind of in central and northern Italy, and then we were getting ready to travel down to Rome to spend some time down there sightseeing and visiting some other friends. So one night, I had this dream where I was riding in a car through the mountains. And to give you an image of what type of mountains these were, if you've ever seen a commercial or seen these fancy car commercials where they have the high priced cars driving down these winding roads up in the mountains, and it's all green and you can see the roads going for miles, this is how it was in my dream. And we're turning down these roads, and we come to this one turn, and we're going way too fast, and the car just flies off the side of the mountain. So this is pretty high up, flies off the side of the mountain, and literally I'm looking down through the windshield in the dream, and it's a long way down. And I feel the pull, like when you're on a roller coaster or you're falling, right, in my stomach. And it's so intense. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm getting ready to die. And I instantly wake up, and like my arms, it's a kind of a very violent like way that I woke up. Like my arms flail against the wall, they hit the wall. I realize after about 5 minutes that it was a dream, and then I'm back in the room. And it took me a while to gather my composure of like, where am I at? Like, it was so intense. I was so deeply in that dream. And you know, about 30 minutes goes by. I kind of think about some things. I'm asking myself, what was that all about? And then the next day, we're driving down to Rome, me, my friend, and another friend who's there. And so quickly, you know, I kind of forget about the dream. I get excited about the trip. We're getting packed up. We're listening to music. We're eating. We're going out. We get into the car, and we drive down to Rome. So we go to Rome. We have about 3 days of just absolute fun, sightseeing, parties. We go to events, just spending time with good friends, a great time. So one of my friends, he's flying back to the United States from Rome, and then me and my good friend are driving back to Fabriano. So we're driving, and the day is already kind of cloudy, overcast, kind of rainy. These were in my younger days, so, you know, we had partied a little bit, so I'm not necessarily that thrilled about the trip back. But again, I'm in Italy, and I'm just enjoying the sights. And we're going, and all of a sudden, my friend looks at me, and he says, oh, man, I missed, he goes, I made the wrong turn. And so I just looked at him and I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, it means I'm either going to have to turn around, but that'll add another 45 minutes to our trip. He goes, and I want to just get home. He goes, I'm just going to keep going the way we're going. This is the scenic route. And so basically he's telling me, well, if I would have stayed on the main highway, that highway goes through all the tunnels and it cuts through the mountain range, right? And it goes straight through. But this route we're taking is the older route. The roads are fine, but it's the older route that actually weaves through the mountains. Now, in the movies, this is where you would hear that music, you know, dun, dun, dun. I just gave a hint earlier, right, about the dream. But me personally, it didn't click for me, right? I didn't think about it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We're going through the mountains. So he has a 4-door sports car, stick shift that he's driving, and we're weaving through, right? And we're going, and we get to a certain point where it was instant deja vu. A sign, I see a sign and I recognize it. Now, instantly in my mind, I'm like, this is my, that was the second time I'd been to Italy, but I'd never been to this area of Italy before. And so I was like, why do I recognize that? And then instantly, the memory of that dream flooded in. Like, it's like flooded in into my memory. And literally, I could not move. I was so terrified. I couldn't move. I couldn't get a word out. And I just remember in my mind thinking, I'm not prepared to die. Like, I was contemplating, I'm getting ready to die, and I didn't prepare. It was like a deep level of shame that I wasn't prepared. I remember going through that feeling. And my friend, he picks up on my energy and he looks at me in the car and he kind of laughs and he looks over and he goes, hey man, you scared of riding, you know, up in the mountains? And he kind of laughs. But when he stops to look at me, he takes his foot off the clutch and puts the car into neutral. So the car slows down a little bit. And then he looks back at the road, and instantly his eyes, like, I remember looking at him, and his eyes get big, and he goes, oh. And the turn, like, we turn around, and we come around to the next turn, and it's the exact same turn that I saw in my dream that previous week. And this is one of those turns where the speed limit goes down, like, almost, you know, by 40 or 50, you know, kilometers by hour or miles per hour, depending on what area of the world you're in. It goes down significantly, right? Because that turn was so sharp. And he hits the brakes, he downshifts, and we come to that turn, and I'm on the right, you know, I'm on the passenger side. So when he makes that turn, I'm looking at the drop. And the car barely cuts on the edge of that road and turns, and of course there's no guardrails in this area, right? There was nothing that was going to stop that car. And we turn that corner and we come back around and we made it. I don't say anything, I think, for 20 minutes. I mean, there was sweat coming down my face. My friend didn't say anything. Like, he understood. I don't think he understood what I was actually going through, but he understood how close that was. And so he was quiet, and I think he was just thinking it through. And then later, like, I started talking again. Like, I just kind of started breathing regular, and I kind of laughed, and I really wanted to change the subject. But in the back of my mind, I knew something really big had happened there, and I just really needed that space to myself to be someplace to really think about this. And I realized later, and it took a while, it took really a couple months, because I kept thinking about it. And the part that really opened me up was I shared this story later with a close mentor and friend. And as soon as I told him the story, he jumped up And he was like, wow. He was like, that's your, he looked at me and he goes, that's your gift. He goes, I knew it. He goes, I knew there was something about you. He goes, that's your gift. He goes, you travel in the dream world. He goes, you're a dream time traveler. He goes, you've connected to many of the traditional practices of many of the different tribes around the world, right? Of getting information from their dreams. And he told me, he goes, if I was you, he goes, I would study everything I could find on dreams, dream interpretation, dream teachers, different native First People tribes in the Americas and Australia, New Zealand, anywhere that you find a story of a group of people who they communicate and get information through their dreams. He goes, you look into it. And I just started reading voraciously all things about dreams. And then later I shared that story again with a group of people when I was in Costa Rica. This was a big conference that I went to. It was called the Alliance for a New Humanity. Deepak Chopra was there, Marianne Williamson. I met a lot of these people, but I was with an intimate group of people. And again, I was with people that I looked up to as mentors. They had been in the kind of healing or spiritual industry way longer than I had. I still was really young compared to a lot of these individuals. And I shared this story at the dinner table. And again, I got the same reaction from several people at the table. They were like, that's your gift. You have information you can bring back to all of us from your dreams and from your unique ability to interpret those signs and messages to yourself. And that's led me to so many intuitive opportunities in my life. It's also one of the main ways that I operate. So many people I'll tell them things and they'll say, oh, that makes a lot of sense. But if I told them how I made the choice, they probably would have thought I was crazy. Right? So it always turns out to be the best choice for me, or it makes sense. But I've really learned to hone in on my intuition and really pick up the signs and signals that I've come to trust from my own experiences, from my dreams, even my waking meditations, nature, working with people. But I really honed in on that key experience. And this is way bigger than just that one time. You know, from the age 3 years old all the way till I was probably in my early 30s, I dealt with night terrors and nightmares, lucid dreams, to the point that my mother and my sister used to try to find ways to help me sleep and help me not deal with some of the nightmares I used to deal with as a kid. That's a whole nother story. But again, it goes into the saying that a person's greatest weakness will turn into their greatest strength, right? And I realized later that the nightmares or the things that were coming through my dreams were really trying to get me to wake up to something about myself. It was a message that was coming to me. And then that message came to me loud and clear in Italy. And I felt the experience of almost losing my life, right? And some people say, oh, well, you were able to save your life. I don't know. You know, we don't know what the real cause of that was. But I know that I had that fear. And I felt that experience. And it's still so vivid today. And that I was able to see it beforehand. It locked in me really paying attention to my intuition. And of course, I've learned many more lessons, you know, since then. And the reason I really wanted to share that today and share this story, of course, I love telling stories, and I also want to honor the first peoples all around the world, right? The indigenous peoples who were all really a lot of the in the Americas, the Iroquois, the Cutankawa, which I've been learning that my family actually goes to those lines here in the Texas area, the United States, the Maori, the original Aboriginal people in Australia, right? There are certain groups where you have to have a certain dream to even be allowed into the community. And I've had some of those dreams and been able to communicate with certain people. But I like to honor those traditions because many of these traditions and the way that information was passed was not in books. It was through oral tradition. It was through telling stories. And many of us still learn and grasp concepts much better through a story, right? Because it's entertaining. You get to hear what I have to say, and you get to use the best imagination tool, which is your brain, right? Which is the reason why a lot of people like to read. We're so used to movies and videos. They give you images, but when you hear a story, you create your own images. And usually, guess who's in the story? You're in the story. So when I just told this story, not only was I there, but everyone listening to this story was here as well. So what I would like to say is pay attention to your unique gift and your intuition. This could be your dreams. And I actually help people and work with individuals to connect deeper with their dreams. I know Dwight and I have had some deep conversations about dreams that he's had and I've had. If you look into the scriptures, the Bible, the Quran, many of the other spiritual texts and prophets, there are many stories about people having prophetic dreams. Also, you may have your own specific gift, something that you notice and only you notice. Don't always look for other people to recognize it or to understand. It may be your unique ability and your unique gift. These movies out here talk about superheroes, but believe me, the superheroes, those are us, right? We have the superpowers. We have to tap into those. And so I know around the world, we are still dealing with limited travel, limited, conscious moving around in our universe or outerverse. But remember, there's great travels within the innerverse, right, within yourself, through meditation, through dreams. So every night that you go to rest, remember that 6 to 10 hours that you may rest, there's a whole nother realm that you can move into. And it goes deep into truly who you are. And sometimes dreams bypass your conscious blocks or your ego blocks. Not to say that there's anything negative or bad about being conscious and aware during the day or your ego, but sometimes we create things to protect ourselves that work for a time, but then later they can hinder us. And you can get past those or understand things in a deeper way by really tapping into what some people would call the conscious. I like to say the dream time. Those areas where you're really connecting at a deeper heart level, connecting to your gut thoughts. So I appreciate the ability to share this story. For Dwight giving me the platform to come on and share this. I just moved here recently into a new place, and I was inspired today because last night I had 4 or 5 separate dreams that were all very powerful, and I'm still kind of reviewing those to say, hey, what's the next message for me, right? So if you have any interest in learning more about how you can interpret your own dreams and really connect, you can always reach out to me, and that's at Jaron, J-A-R-O-N, at dreampoweracademy.com. Also, if you have family members that you trust or friends, communicate with them about your dreams. That's a great conversation to start in your family. And also, if you have children, little ones around, many children are very connected to their dreams. Some families and communities leave it open for them to talk about those things. But at a young age, when kids are allowed to really share about their dreams, they no longer feel like their dreams are crazy or what they're saying is weird or off. They have a safe space where they can share with their family, and this starts to build communication at a whole nother level. And you'll be surprised at the things that someone will say in your family, and this will provide a lot of insight into how that person is actually feeling and what's going on, and sometimes there's messages for the larger community. So thank you again for allowing me to share this. This is a very deep, passionate subject that I operate in day-to-day, so this is dear and near to my heart, And please stay safe out there. Keep going towards your dreams. Keep finding out your unique abilities, and having the ability to express those is something that we all can feel grateful for, being here on this earth and being alive. Thank you.
Wow, Jaron Banks, thank you for sharing that, having the courage to share that. That's powerful. That's beautiful. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show. COVID-19 has put a lot of people in a state of fear. So with this show, I aim to put people in a state of faith. Immediately following my skit, the next voice you will hear will be Katrina Friel. I've got my heart in it, and it has an unbelievable beat. I've got my mind on it, and I'm always being authentic with me. I've got my heart in it, and due to the small, still small voice within, I'll be hearing deep. I've got my mind on it. All my promises to myself, I'm going to keep. I've got my mind on it, and I'm operating from the vantage point of intentionality. I've got my mind on it, and I have an amazing personality. I've got my mind on it, and I'm calm, serene, and tranquil like the sea. I've got my mind on it, and have total peace like the umpire within me. I've got my mind on it, and I'm being creative with the law of creativity. I've got my mind on it, and I'm reaching further than even I thought I could reach. I've got my mind on it, and I'm releasing immortal truths. I am far more than just Dwight Lee. I've got my mind on it, and I'm accomplishing feats only I am knew I would reach. I've got my heart in it, and I'm expressing faith. I know that I can teach. I've got my mind on it, and all of my art produced is of the highest quality. I've got my mind on it, and I'm demonstrating all the greatness on the inside of me. I've got my mind on it, and I'm always, yo, thinking deep. I've got my mind on it, and as you can see, I'm dominating deliberately. I've got my mind on it, and I'm consistently and persistently embracing posterity. I've got my mind on it, and I'm constantly receiving financial prosperity. I've got my mind on it, and that specific material manifestation is for Dwight Lee. I've got my mind on it, and I'm beginning to tap into my possibilities. I've got my mind on it, and I'm discovering my potentialities. I've got my mind on it, and I'm enjoying being surrounded by the natural beauty. I've got my mind on it, and through revelation from my spirit to my mind, I realize I am elite. Almost like MJ, LeBron, Kareem, and Dr. Martin Luther King, you've been a witness. Now give your testimony. With no further ado, we're going to Katrina Friel.
Hi, guys. Calling in from Sydney, Australia, on a very grey and rainy day. We are having rain for the next 4 or 5 days, so I'm hunkering down. It's winter over here, of course, so it's cold, whereas hopefully you guys are enjoying some sort of sun on the other side of the world. And it's my great honour to be here with the boys today. We've got the beautiful poet Dwight. And Jared's story is amazing because yesterday I finished up my work, and next to me I have my iPad and I play my Spotify, and I play things like focus and concentration type music. And so quite often, hours and hours and hours can pass. So yesterday I finished up my day and left my iPad on, and I'm sitting here this morning after some dream time, some sleep, and I look over during Jaron's talk and his story, and next to me is a album cover called Spirits of Our Dreams. And so when I see that, I automatically make a connection little things in our lives, there's so many signs. Most of us, though, are moving so fast through our lives that we're not picking up on the subtle signs and connections, messages that are appearing to us. The universe is talking to us all the time, constantly connecting us with our intuition. And this is just one little subtle way of sort of saying that we're here and that we're connected. So spirits of our dreams is really sort of random to the average person. They'd just say, oh, yeah, you just left that CD cover up. But just have a think about the chances of that particular CD cover sitting on my iPad this morning relating to what Darren has actually spoken about. It's like a trillion billion to one, because you've got to add up all the CD covers that are possible and then maybe look at what's the chances of that particular one just sitting here this morning after not knowing what Jaron was even going to say. So it's like a billion trillion to one that particular CD cover would be there. But what that does to my heart is it connects me to Jaron. So it says that we are connected in our story. So what that then inspires me to do, I take that sign and I say thank you for the connection and the connection heart to heart with each other. And I then say, okay, so what is the inspiration for me following on from Jaron's story? And so what it does is my intuition gives me a story. It now knows it wants to talk about dreams and possible car accidents. And so I go back to when I too had a course correction. And it was going back nearly 30 years. And I was driving an hour and a half to get to work in my little Datsun Silver Bullet. And I was driving down and there was just a peppering of rain, not much, nothing major, just a little light rain making the road a little bit wet. And I come up to about halfway in my trip, getting off to work, and I come up to this sort of major intersection. And as I'm coming up, I see this big four-wheel drive type thing. And the intuition I get very, very clearly was, she's going to go. And this is all within seconds. As I approach, I'm coming closer and closer to the light. For some reason, I've got the green light. I'm heading straight forward. She's trying to come across from the other side of the road in her four-wheel drive. And as she goes and as I start to approach the light, I've already been given the intuition that she's going to go. But as it all starts to happen and as the impact occurs, on the right-hand side ear, an external voice said, relax and go with it. As clear as day. I'd never had external voices like that whispering in my ear. It wasn't even really a whisper. They literally just talked directly into my ear like a human would. And as that happened, my legs went up into the steering wheel. My car starts to spin around and around because I'm going 60. She's from a standing stop. She's in a four-wheel drive. I'm in some sort of little car. And eventually my car comes to a stop. And I try to get out of the vehicle. And the driver's side, in Australia, we are on the other side of the road, just the other side of the car, remember? And I try to get out and it's stuck. And I can't get out of the vehicle. And then I saw a man, a big burly man, come to the car and struggle with the door and somehow pulls it open. It's all crunched up. And he bends down and lifts me up out of the vehicle and takes me to the side of the road. And all these people had gathered and were all checking in on me. And there was a chemist on the road. So the chemist people came out and said, you know, is she okay? What's going on? An ambulance was called. They wouldn't let me talk, you know, didn't want me talking to the driver of the other vehicle. And she was in the vehicle. Her four-wheel drive had sort of just taken a hit, but nothing major. And the ambulance came and got me and said, look, it's best if you come, even though you seem to be okay. We always like to take you to hospital and just double-check. And all my stockings were ripped and all these little bits of blood all over my legs. My legs had gone up into the steering wheel and had taken a bit of a bashing. But essentially I felt just lucky to be alive. And that was in November. And during the next couple of months, both sides of the insurance were getting me to go for tests. And both sides of the insurance companies agreed that I had 10% permanent damage in my lower back and 20% permanent damage in my neck. And by January, I had the payout in my bank account, and all of that seemed miraculous to everyone else because normally it takes a lot longer to get paid out. It's very unusual to, by January, have money in your bank account, which paid off all my debts at the time and started me on a trajectory that I was not on prior to the accident. And so the reason I tell this story is because on the surface, it's just a car accident, just an unlucky morning. People told me, do not mention that you got the intuition that she was going to go, and certainly don't mention that you heard a voice saying, relax and go with it. So when I tell the story to ordinary people who are not particularly spiritual or in touch with anything other than their own conscious mind, I can leave out those bits. And for those that are spiritually inclined or heart-centered, operating from a heart center, those people obviously love those sort of stories. So I can tell the story in its entirety, because up until that point, I didn't have a major story where something, someone was talking directly to me like that. And so now I did, and I was very, very excited about the fact that I now have this miraculous story, but I very rarely tell it, except all these years later, 30 years later, I'm telling it again, and I'm telling it to you. And I don't know why, but it was inspired by Darren this morning talking about his dream and his potential course correction. And so the reason I tell you this story is to also reiterate that the signs in our lives, often the negative signs in our lives, are the way the universe is concocted to course correct you, but in the path of least resistance. So the universe operates at the path of least resistance. So if I went up and I said to the universe, why did you give me a car accident? You could have killed me. It's terrible. Like, why? Why would you bash my car? I needed my car. Why did you change my attitude towards my work after that car accident? You know, why did you do that? That was just terrible. The universe would say to me, it was the path of least resistance. So we knew we weren't going to kill you. We knew we were going to put that money in your bank account to pay off your debt so that you could move on with your life. and get on to the next chapter of your life and not stay on this path that you were on. You were not on the path that we want you on. We want you on a different path. And you weren't listening to us. You weren't listening. You just kept going and going and going. And because you've got free will, you're allowed to do whatever you like. But we are able to intervene on occasion because we know your heart and we know your destiny and we know why you're here on earth at this particular time. And so we course corrected you. And so now with that information, I can then go back and have a look at the car accident itself and look at it very differently. So what it did to my life was I left my job. I left my job very soon after that. I had just no passion for it left. I was burnt out. I was overworked there. I was being used. I knew too much about my boss and the affair that my boss was having with the CEO. And I used to have to protect them a lot. And I just found that that was out of integrity for me. And I ended up leaving that job and starting my own business. For the very, very first time, my very first business of my own. And it sort of started my entrepreneurial activities way, way, way back then. And, yeah, I stopped having to drive to Sydney every day. I got to work from home. And I took on a contract for the next 4 years at the same time. And that was amazing. That opened me up to the charity industry, and I was raising money, and I had a high profile in the area of where I had moved, and because I'd moved an hour north of Sydney, where I was born and bred, and I didn't know anybody up an hour north, and so this contract that I took for 4 years ended up connecting me with the community as a whole, and it, you know, I'm still up here, I'm still working from home. And I suppose the rest is history. Now, in regards to the money is often gifted to you like that because they just can't, the universe can't think of any other way to get you out of the crap that you've put yourself in. And that's a whole nother story about my financial journey and the financial mistakes that I made in my early years, I suppose, like the rest of us. Most of us are not very financially savvy when we're young, but I had made some stupid mistakes from the time I was 16 right through to 21, and the debts had accumulated, and that money covered those debts so that I could basically have a clean slate. So the universe was giving me a major blessing and removing some serious obstacles to my freedom, including my financial freedom. So the story and the experience is so multi-layered, you'll never really fully understand what that course correction does for a person. But what I want you to do is go back in your life and see where you have had course corrections that have changed the trajectory of your life, and you'll probably find that you've had one or two, if not many. And if you are off path, if you are not on your destiny path, and you are using your free will to do something else, what the universe will do will be able to course correct you. And sometimes we read it as negative. But what I want you to know is the universe does not know good or bad, positive or negative. It just is. And so when they look at how can I sort this out, they look at the path of least resistance. They don't see a car accident as good or bad. They just see it as, well, that's just the quickest way of getting it done. And this will work. She will have a change in attitude. She will look at the world differently, and we're giving her some financial aid to sort out her problem temporarily and see if she learns her lessons this way. So have a little think about where in your life have you had a course correction, And if you look around you at your friends and your family, you'll see that there is dis-ease is used, so disease and sickness is used. And if you ever talk to anybody that's had some sort of cancer scare or anything like that, you'll see that they change their lives generally. They change their attitude to life. They appreciate life more. They appreciate the little things in the world, and they really get in their body and they get really present with themselves. Not to say all sickness is that related in that regard, but you will see when people do recover from disease, it's usually because it was there to send them a message, a course correction about their life and where it's going and what the universe wants from you. Because we're all in this together, literally. We are all in this together. We're all vibrationally connected to one another. We are one. We are the one. We are the source, but we are peppered. So think of each soul as a little bit of dust, a little bit of pepper sprinkled around the universe, and we're all doing our bit to feed back to the source, to the one. Our soul, our spark, our life force is a spark of God. And so that's why they say the temple of God is inside of you, or however that goes from the Bible, but you are God. You are the one. It's this experience that the source wants to find out about. So they send you down, send you to the earth school where you get to experience all these amazing things. But because you're God, you have this incredible power. And one of our powers is intuition, our sixth sense. And we all have it. It's just some people go to the gym of intuition and other people don't. Some people try to ignore it or don't listen to their gut instincts or what their heart is saying. Doesn't really matter. It's happening anyway. And you are getting messages constantly. You're getting feedback constantly. It's just whether you choose to listen to it or not. It's up to you. You have free will to do whatever you like. But your superpower is intuition. And talking about dreams, dreams are an incredible tool that the body uses to sort out your computer. So as a human, you're in a suit. You are in the most amazing spaceship you'll ever drive, and that is your human body. It's the most incredible vehicle. The most incredible gift you'll ever be given is this incredible human body. So think of that as your little vehicle. I like to think of it as an incredible spaceship that I get to wander the earth with. Then at nighttime, you get to become a light body where you get to leave the physical form and you get to go anywhere you want to go in your vehicle, because you also have a light vehicle, one that is not bound by the physics of this particular earth. And so dreams are a fascinating area, and you must get in touch with Jared to talk more about your dreams, because dreams are on so many levels an incredible gift for the body. So first of all, you must sleep and you must rest, because in this physical body we need to recharge, so that's just the way it is. And so you get put to sleep. And you actually sort of can't move when you're asleep. You're kind of almost given a drug so that you're paralyzed, so that you don't kill yourself. Some people, this drug doesn't work very well, so that's why you get these sleepwalkers and people eating at night from the fridge while they're asleep, or, you know, falling out of bed or banging themselves somehow. So that's not meant to happen. You're meant to be able to be in your dream, moving about, but at the same time your physical body is not moving about, because from a safety perspective you can see why it's constructed like that. So anywho, if you want to get really conscious about your dreams, then get yourself a dream journal and start to write down all the elements of your dreams. And that's how I in particular do dream interpretations. I'm not sure how Jared does it, but we can ask him. But looking at each element of your dream will give you some incredible insight into your unconscious mind. And everyone's unconscious mind has its own symbology. And so if you have a look at some dream books, they'll say a snake represents this and there's a tree represents that and, spiders represent this and that. Now, they're what we call, some of those big symbols are what we call universal symbols. And so when you look at the your dream and you see some of these universal symbols in it, then it does give us some clues as to where the dream might be heading. But essentially, the unconscious mind has its own symbology. And so the more you interpret your own dream and the more you write your dream journal down, you know, use your dream journal, the more you'll understand the unconscious mind and the symbols that it works in. Because the unconscious mind works in symbols and metaphor, and it's not literal like the conscious mind. The conscious mind is just in the here and the now, can only think of one thing at a time, whereas the unconscious mind is really your supercomputer. And it works in symbols because a picture says 1,000 words, and so that's why it uses incredible symbols. And you've got to work out your own unconscious language. And so from the signs that you're receiving in the day and the signs that you're receiving in the nighttime, if you're not tapping into that world, you're really not tapping into the full aspect of who you are, because your unconscious mind is the most incredible machine that's driving everything. And your unconscious mind is actually connected to your higher self, and your higher self is connected to the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records, if you can visualize a beautiful river of absolutely everything inside that river, everything in the past, the present, and the future is running in that soup river, and that's the Akashic Records. So when you go and dream, you go up from your conscious mind to your unconscious mind to your higher self. So your higher self taps into all that ever was and ever will be, the Akashic Records, and you can draw down anything you want. It's completely up to you. And that's why people are encouraged to meditate. You're encouraged to meditate so that you go up with your unconscious mind through your higher self. Your higher self goes and gets the information and draws it down to your unconscious mind so that your unconscious mind can tell your conscious mind. So that's a conduit that you have access to. So when people are really intuitive, all they are is they are connected to their higher self all the time, plugged into the Akashic Record, and they're actually able to draw down any piece of information or anything that they need or want at the time. And then when you're really good at intuition, you're able to draw it down for other people, and those people are psychic, or they're called psychics or mediums or whatever you want to call them. But those people just live in the world and draw down information for other people. But really what you're meant to be doing is drawing it down for yourself. So that's my message for today, is getting in touch with your unconscious mind, getting in touch with your dreamscape, get in touch with your light body and where does it want to go and how does it speak and what are the symbols for you. And get in touch with your intuition so that you can draw down anything you want from the Akashic Records and start to really interpret all the signs from the universe, all the messages from the universe, all the signposts that are in your life. Just like today when I look over at my iPad and I see that CD, and the CD says the spirit of our dreams. And isn't that amazing? There it is, talking to me across to Jared on the other side of the world. It's been wonderful to be here today. I hope it awakens what is dormant inside of you and find out, what does the universe want for you? What are your gifts that you're not tapping into? Because your intuition is screaming at you. It is talking to you constantly. But really the question is, are you listening? Thank you for having me, Dwight.
Thank you. Wow, this has been startling, astonishing. So
So I'm going to wrap up with a few quotes, I think, that line up with this, because this is amazing. I mean, I didn't know what John was going to talk about. I asked Katrina to speak about something, but, I mean, this is way bigger than that and so much more further out than I thought. And I'm sure any listener that heard this has to be blessed because, wow. Quote, in the egoic state, your sense of self, your identity, is derived from your thinking mind. In other words, what your mind tells you about yourself, the storyline of you, the memories, the expectations, all the thoughts that go through your head continuously, and the emotions that reflect those thoughts, all those things make up your sense of self. Eckhart Tolle. Those thoughts are truth which guide us to beneficial interaction with sensible particulars as they occur, whether they copy these in advance or not. Period. End of quote. William James. That resonates very strongly with Jarron Banks's sharing and then Katrina's sharing. Quote, thoughts are mental energy. They're the currency that you have to attract what you desire. Learn to stop spending that currency on the thoughts you don't want. Period. End of quote. Wayne Dyer. To put the world in order, we have to first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we have to put the family in order. To put the family in order, we have to put our hearts in order. Period. End of quote. Confucius. And drawing to a close, I say, be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then your world and everything in it will change. Thank you, Jarron Banks, for sharing your story. Thank you, Katrina Frail, for sharing that story and what's on the iPad. I mean, this is incredible. And into the next Sudden Eye Impact show. Do what you know to do and use your faith.
Discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact. With your host, Lee.